Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hi, welcome to Horror Versus Reality.
Hello.
Hi, that's Trent. Yes, as I mentioned in a previous episode, we're having a revolving door of co-hosts until Morgan's back after the wedding. So, Trent's my co-pilot today. Hi, Trent.
Hi, good to be here. You know, I'm not getting married anytime soon, so feel free to use me whenever.
I don't know. It took a long time to get this one to line up for us.
That is true. That is fair. But I mean, like, it's not your fault. I'm just a flaky piece of shit.
I mean, one time it was my fault, actually, kind of.
Well, I'm glad that a woman finally admits that something's her fault. That's nice. I appreciate that.
Shut up.
You know, I like the air of casual misogyny wherever I go.
Yeah, of course, right? Yeah. Okay, let's dive into this. We're talking about a real piece of shit today, and a movie loosely inspired by said piece of shit. Mm-hmm. That piece of shit is BTK, and the movie is The Clovehitch Killer.
Yes, I watched this movie actually for the first time last summer when I got back to the States, and I was doing administrative work for a little school, and I would just like use the Wi-Fi to watch Shudder because I just didn't have a whole lot to do after a little while.
I get that.
I was like, okay, Dylan McDermott. Okay, cool. He was good in that one thing that was basically the Wonderland Murders.
Yeah.
So I checked it out. Yeah, no. They really captured the whole being a piece of shit kind of thing really well, I feel.
They do. I think they frame it well, and it's well done. I think I wanted my BTK to be a little more seedy.
Yeah. I think that's what people wanted in real life.
What do you mean?
Well, like Dennis Rader, like, I mean, he was...
It's more accurate, but I did want to see more of the seedy things. You don't really see a lot of violence in this
film. That is true.
It's all implied, really.
Yeah. Which, I mean, like, we all know that you love violence. I mean, I love violence, too.
I mean...
You make me uncomfortable, and we've never been in the same room together.
Oh, come on. You have way more love for Serbian film than I could ever muster.
I don't have love for it. I have stamina and patience.
Okay. I mean, that's fair. That's fair. I've watched it once, and I will never watch it again.
Yeah, same. Unless I'm watching it with a friend of my podcast, Jeff Burke, I think I mentioned this the last time when we were doing the Henry Lee Lucas episode. He was Serbian film. It's just like that joke, The Aristocrats, but for horror movies.
You know, that's kind of spot on, because it does just like encroach on taboo after taboo after taboo.
Yes.
So, yeah, you know, that's fair. That's a fair assessment.
And the punchline, I think, is way better. In a Serbian film, start with a little one. Hey!
I feel like
there's no spoilers there because, like, I've been reading about this movie since I was fucking 12 and I'm 28 now. I'm 29. Shit, I forgot. So.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Okay. Well, Let's just dive into this movie now. Let's do that. Yes. All right, so let's talk about the director a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I, like, tried to dive in on him, and he just hasn't really done much. I couldn't really find much about him. So per his IMDb bio, Duncan Skiles learned filmmaking in high school while producing a weekly cable access series called Burrito Vision. After moving to NYC, he made dozens of short films for the popular Waverly Films YouTube channel, leading to opportunities directing stand-up specials, commercials, and music videos. His debut feature, IFC Midnight's The Clovehitch Killer, married his dry comedic style with a love for minimalist suspense. His publicist wrote that, I think.
Yeah, no, that sounds like some publicist shit. Like, you know, either that or he's just like very masturbatory, which I don't know. I think it's okay to be a director and you're just like really into yourself.
I mean, the best ones usually are, I feel like. Yeah. But yeah, that's fair. Yeah, so that's really all I know about that guy, to be honest. Yeah. I don't know much more about him. But let's get into the cast, because the cast, there's more things to talk about.
Yes.
Obviously, we're going to start with Dylan McDermott, who plays Don Burnside, who is basically BTK.
Yeah.
So McDermott...
A lot more attractive.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm. So McDermott is an American actor, yeah, and he's known for his roles on The Practice, which he played lawyer Bobby Donnell on, and that show was on for a long time. My parents liked that show. I found lawyer shows pretty dull when I was, like, you know, 11 or 12.
Yeah.
You know, but they're, I honestly still find them pretty dull, if I'm being real, but, you know, it's whatever. Yeah, that's fair. But anyway, so he won a Golden Globe for that role, actually. Mm-hmm. But he's also known for playing several characters across four seasons of FX's anthology horror series, American Horror Story. Mm-hmm. He also had a memorable role in Steel Magnolias. Yeah. He was, you know, the love interest of Julia Roberts in that movie.
I mean, you know what? Steel Magnolias, that's my favorite movie, and I don't know how I forgot that.
Is that really your favorite movie? Because I find that hard to believe.
I've never seen Steel Magnolias.
I was going to say, that would be so bizarre, Trent. Okay, I want to talk about my favorite role of his, though. That's just like, I love him in Party Monster, where he's like, he's the one-eyed club owner.
Yes, that was a real guy.
Yeah,
trying to find his name right now because I have like Wikipedia opened as well. Peter Gatchin or Gatchin.
Yeah.
Oh, he's still alive.
Yeah, wild, right?
He produced A Bronx Tale. Peter Gatchin.
Really?
Yeah, I'm doing deep dives right now, dog.
Nice, that's fun. Yeah. Okay, so currently you can find Dylan McDermott playing the lead on the CBS drama FBI Most Wanted. So he's gone to the CBS doldrums to die, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Sorry. Once you're on one of those shows like NCIS, you've just...
But that's where you're going to be for the rest of your life. That's your retirement plan.
Yeah, that's your retirement plan, 100%. All right, so let's talk about Charlie Plummer, who plays Tyler, Don's son. Plummer is an American actor. He has been a child star. He was in a bunch of short films and commercials, and then he got like maybe his biggest exposure at the time on Boardwalk Empire. He played one of Nucky. He played one of Nucky's nephews, which I've just been rewatching that recently. Boardwalk. Did you ever get into Boardwalk?
I did. Then I fell off of it. It's on my list to rewatch. But first, I got The Leftovers and 6 Feet Under to rewatch.
Oh, that's fair. That's fair. 6 Feet Under was fantastic.
Yes.
All right. Anyway. Yes. So then he started, then he was in the Hulu miniseries Looking for Alaska.
Oh, yeah. That's how I know him.
Yeah. As Miles Pudge Halter.
Yes.
And he got like pretty good reviews for that. And recently he starred as Dylan in the horror rom-com Spontaneous.
Ooh.
Did you ever see Spontaneous?
I have not.
It's on Hulu streaming, I know for a fact, but basically one of the characters spontaneously explodes. Human combustion. Spontaneous human combustion. And it's contagious. And no one knows, like, who's going to be next. So the whole movie is a ticking time bomb of exploding people all wrapped up in, like, a teen rom-com.
That is beautiful, and I'm looking at reviews right now. Yeah, I'm probably gonna watch that tonight.
It's pretty good. Like, I won't lie, it's pretty good. All right, so kudos for that, Charlie Plummer.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Madison Beatty. She plays Cassie.
Yeah.
Beatty is an American actress. She also DJs on the side, and she played Daisy Fuller in The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, directed by my favorite guy, David Fincher. Dora Solstad in The Master.
My favorite guy, Paul Thomas.
I Yes, I was going to say another fave of mine, Paul Thomas Anderson. Rebecca Mulcahy and the other people, among other roles. You know, she also played one of the kids on that ABC Family series, The Fosters. Yeah. And she played Iris in The Magicians, which... Okay. Yeah. I forgot what channel that show came on.
Well, she also played... Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, she also had a small role in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
And Aquarius, both roles playing Patricia Krenwinkle.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah. With David...
Duchovny.
Yes, Duchovny.
Yeah, I love Mulder. That man.
Yeah, right? He's so good in Californication.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so let's talk about Samantha Mathis, who plays the mom, Cindy Burnside.
Hell yeah.
Mathis is an American... Oh, and there's some interesting stuff about her, by the way. So Mathis is an American actress. She also was the VP of the Actors Union, SAG-AFTRA, for a little while.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. She's had a really long, interesting career. She voiced Krista in one of my favorite animated films, Ferngully.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. She played adult Amy March in the 1994 adaptation of Little Women, which would not be the last time she co-starred with Christian Bale.
No, actually, her first role was with Christian Bale in probably my favorite teen movie, Pump Up the Volume.
And then again in American Psycho as Courtney Rawlinson, the drugged out woman Patrick Bateman is having an affair with.
Oh, I'm a dumbass. You said Christian Bale. I had Christian Slater on the brain because I was thinking of her first movie, Pump Up the Volume.
I was thinking that Christian Bale was definitely not in that, but I was just going to move past it.
I had to correct myself. I would have listened to this later and be like, wow, Trent, you can retire from comedy and podcasting and just stick with being a middle school teacher because you're barely good at that.
Aw, it's not that bad. Yeah. All right. So, but no, here's the interesting dirt, right? So in her personal life, back in the early 90s, she broke up with John Leguizamo for River Phoenix. And was with him when he OD'd at the Viper Room in 1993.
Oof.
That stings.
You ever listen to the 911 call that his brother made?
No, I hate 911 calls. No,
fucking don't. Like, not only does it, like, feel, like, very intrusive, like, I watched it, like, on a documentary that was on TV when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I still can't shake it as a nearly 30-year-old man. I was like, man, that's not cool that they released that shit.
Yeah, like, no.
Kind of a shitty move.
Yeah, it's like, it should be kept in a vault with, like, the Grizzly Man footage and shit.
No, I want that. I want the Grizzly Man footage.
I don't want to listen to that man.
No, like, hey, if Werner Herzog's saying, this is the most horrible thing I've ever experienced, I'm like, yeah, dude. I want to go down that abyss with you, Mr. Herzog. Take me.
Did you see, I can't remember which episode it was. Oh, I do know. It was the episode of Joe Bob's The Last Drive-In where they showed Werner Herzog's Nosferatu.
Yes, I have watched that one.
I think it came out, a year ago or something like that?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, nice. I think it was just last season. But no, I was going to say they have this great extended Werner Herzog bit, like, in between movies.
Hell yes.
And yeah, you should just go watch that if you haven't seen it. It's great. I can't do it justice.
I need to watch it because I really would love to hear Joe Bob just like shit talk the main actor. Was it Klaus Kinski?
He has some great talks about Klaus Kinski.
Yeah, apparently not a great guy.
No, Klaus Kinski was a fucking asshole. I've seen the documentary that Werner Herzog did about him.
Well, I was reading about, like, his kids saying all those horrible things about him. I'm just like, oh, Jesus.
Yeah, not beloved by his family. Famously a difficult man. All right. Yeah, so let's move on. So, let's begin. 16-year-old Tyler Burnside lives with his devout Christian family in the small, remote town of Clarksville, Kentucky. The town and its residents are haunted by the memory of the Clove Hitch Killer, an infamous serial killer who bound and strangled 10 known female victims before disappearing 10 years earlier. Now, Tyler takes his father's truck one night to go see a girl that he likes, who ends up finding, and they're like making out and stuff, and are like at least starting to kiss a little bit, but then she finds a photo of a woman between the seats that's in like bondage, like tied up and shit. And it's creepy. It's seedy.
Yeah. Well, the same kind of seedy.
Yeah. And then she just is like immediately turned off and is like, take me home. Bye. Boop.
Yep.
Gone. And then she tells fucking everyone.
That reminds me of the song by Taking Back Sunday. And you can tell all your friends.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good song.
Yeah, no, it's like, come on, guys. It's I know it's like middle America, Kentucky, whatever. Don't kink shame. We'll have less serial killers, maybe, if you don't kink shame. Or more, I don't know.
That's true. It looked creepy, like, oh, maybe I don't feel safe with this photo. But, like, don't go tell everyone that it's his.
Yeah, you don't know what he's going to do to you now.
Not only that, but I mean, like, you have no idea how it got there. Neither does he. Do you trust him? He said no. Yeah, I just feel like she didn't really give him the benefit of the doubt. If anything, I would have been like, dude, your dad's a creep, right?
Yeah.
Worst case. Yeah. Best case. Whatever.
Or it's like, hey, dude, your dad, he likes to fucking party.
Yeah, your dad is not who he says he is. I'm saying he's got a double life.
See, that trip that he takes to New Orleans in the summertime, that is not for business. That is for pretty well decadence.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So the word is spread about, like I said, the word is spread about the photo.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they begin to ostracize Tyler, like all the other teenagers, especially the ones that go to church with him and are in his scout troop, because he's a Boy Scout.
Yeah.
Or I guess he's like, I should really know, like, what the ranks are of, you know, like, where you are at what age, if you've done everything for Boy Scouts, because I've dated, like, 3 Eagle Scouts, including the guy I'm with now, but...
Okay, cool. I'm glad you footnoted it with that, because I was about to, like, good God, I'm so sorry, woman.
No, my current boyfriend's lovely, thank you. He skipped out on the final project of Eagle Scouts because he just didn't feel like doing it.
Fair enough.
Right? Let's get back to it. So Tyler's like, yo, what is going on with Dad? Is he kinky? Is he into some BDSM? Does Mom know about this? The wheels are turning, you know, like, what's up? Yeah. And he's like, is my dad, who's like this like hokey family man, does he have a double life? Because I feel like if Mom was in on it, I'd know, you know. So he begins to also think, like, wait a minute, do you think Dad could be Clove Hitch? Boom, boom, boom,
boom, boom. Because you right off the bat, Dad's really good with ropes.
Dad is really good with ropes. That's like,
what's that thing in the beginning where he's like it's like a show of strength or whatever?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, so, and they really do stuff like that too.
Yeah, like letting him know it's like, I'm stronger than you, I can overpower you, kind of thing, to like keep
that's weird power dynamic stuff there.
Mm-hmm. Healthy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh yeah, right. So Tyler investigates Don's private shed, which I'm just going to, okay, look, it's fine to have a private place, but if it's a shed in the back that you keep locked and no one is allowed in ever, it's kind of sus, right?
Yeah, it's not ideal.
It's a little sus. That's all I'm saying.
Like if you can't have your boys come in over the weekend and like pop some booze in the man shed, then I don't know.
Look. Yeah. Yo, look, I don't want to name names, but Mark and I were invited to a birthday party at one point a couple years ago, and dude had a man shed that he did projects in, and he invited everyone over for his birthday party. This man would not let anyone in that shed. It was highly suspect.
Why is a serial killer?
I don't know. He just shows, honestly, he shows a lot of TikTok videos, and it's just him making dorky shit in his shed.
Out of people's skin, probably.
Out of wood. It's actually pretty dull.
That of people would, maybe.
People would. Stuff. That's fair. Let's get back to what Don's up to in the creepy shed, though.
Yes.
So Tyler's he's around, he's all in the shed looking through stuff, and he finds a hidden compartment that has bondage magazines. Okay, Dad's definitely a freak, but that's okay. No kink shaming. As long as no one's getting hurt, fine. Yeah. Dad's a freak. It's weird, but all right. All right. But then there's a Polaroid photo of a woman that's been beaten up. Mm-hmm. And she's tied up. And it's like, well, how do you get Polaroids like this if you're not the one who did it?
Yeah.
So, you know, now obviously he's scared. He thinks his dad fucking Glovich.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, oh, okay, cool. Great. All my friends have cast me aside. I have, no one to talk to. And my dad might be a serial killer. Awesome. Dope. Totally dope. And that's when he befriends teen outcast and amateur Glovich historian, Cassie. And he's like, yo, I think my dad might be a serial killer. What are your thoughts on that? And she's like, kind of skeptical.
Mm-hmm.
But they do link the photograph to a known Glovich victim. And they find blueprints to a BDSM dungeon in the shed.
Yeah.
Fuck.
That's not ideal.
It's really not ideal.
You know,
this man.
Yeah, and it turns out Dad was building it for his son. I was like, oh, I wanted it to be a surprise for your birthday, but you had to go snooping around, didn't you?
Why would I want that, Father?
It was like, you know, I just thought we could bond over something.
Oh, God, you're terrifying. I'll never look at you the same way. Anyway, so he also finds, you know, Tyler goes under the house's crawl space and finds a box of just driver's license of the known Glovich victims and three other women. You know, cool.
You just have those.
Yeah, just coincidentally.
Just find those when you're hiking around, you know.
Ordered them off eBay.
Yeah, exactly. Replicas,
sure. And then more Polaroid photographs of beaten up women and tied up. It's not looking good. It's looking like Pops is fucking Glovich.
Yes.
So, Don, now suspicious of Tyler's behavior, takes him camping. And to explain the evidence that Tyler's uncovered, he says that the Glovich killer was Tyler's vegetative Uncle Rudy, who became paralyzed after the guilt drove him to a suicide attempt. Don says he kept evidence and hopes for one day giving it to the victims' families. Tyler accepts this explanation apprehensively, and the two burn all the evidence. And Tyler ends the investigation, but Cassie's, like, not buying it. She's like, I think your dad did it. I don't trust him.
Yeah, it was like, I was going to give this to the family, but you know what? Let's burn this instead of doing that thing that I planned on doing for years.
Yeah, it makes him look really guilty, bro. So, Don allows Tyler to attend a scout leadership camp, which he had previously been like, we don't have the money for it. Like, you can't go.
And the entire time I'm just thinking, like, look at the house that they live in. Yes, you have the money for that.
Yeah, right? Like, but he did get injured at some point on the job, apparently. There's no think about that. So anyway, so he sends his wife Cindy and daughter Susie to Cindy's mother for like 2 weeks. And now that he's home alone, he starts photographing himself dressed up as a woman in bondage positions, which is something that the real BTK did.
And it looked just like the fucking video or the pictures I've seen on the internet.
Yeah, it was pretty well redone. Yeah. Pretty well done, recreated.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But then he like throws the photos away angrily later. Like he's not fully embracing his inner whatever yet.
Yeah.
So then he stalks a woman through town and he breaks in, binds her, and begins to strangle her. However, Tyler appears seemingly out of nowhere with a rifle, and it is revealed through a flashback that Tyler never left for camp.
Yeah.
But was secretly watching Don with Cassie. So he's just been hanging out with Cassie this whole time, stalking his father.
I mean, this is like just great first couple of dates fodder, you know?
Remember when we bonded over my serial killer dad? Good times.
Oh, yeah. It's like, what's that thing you wanted to try in the bedroom tonight?
Oh, it wasn't the Glovich nut. All right. So it's also revealed through this flashback that Cassie's mother was one of the Clove Hitch victims. She was one of the three unknown ones.
Yes.
So Don catches them at some point, and he like knocks Cassie out and convinces Tyler to surrender his rifle.
Yeah. And he's Don's taking photos, I think, at the time.
He was, but then, you know, now he's like, oh, hi, son. Fuck this.
Well, at first he's like trying to convince him, like, yeah, no, this is actually an affair. Sorry.
Yeah, it's not what you think. Yeah. Oh, but then as soon as he talks him down and gets the rifle away from him, he tries to shoot him. So, you know. But luckily, chamber was empty.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, so the two scuffle, and Don almost strangles Tyler, but Cassie awakens in the nick of time and knocks Don unconscious. Mm-hmm. Cassie dials 911, and Tyler grabs her hand and stops her before she can continue to dial it completely.
Yeah.
Later, we find out that Don has been officially declared missing, but Tyler's family remains stable. They are informed that the police have discovered Don's body, and after this, his death is considered a suicide. At their church, Tyler delivers a eulogy for Don, intercut with scenes of him and Cassie dragging Don's body into the forest and framing him, or basically putting the death like it's a hunting accident. They're staging it to look like that.
Yeah.
And the forest scene ends with Don slowly waking up and Tyler pointing a pistol at his head. And Tyler ends the eulogy with, "Dad, if you could hear me, I love you."
That was that ending got me, dog. I was like, shit, you know how much money you're throwing away in book deals right now?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. It's like, shit, like, I mean, it's a bad situation, but I mean, come on, skirt out with a little something, bud. I'm being facetious, like that. I feel like he made the right call for like long run. Or, well, no, did he?
Well, okay. Here's the thing. It's a twofold thing. On the one hand, it's selfish because the victims will never get that closure other than Cassie.
Yeah.
On the other hand, his life will be solid, so it's kind of a selfish decision. But I mean, he's the only one who lives his life. Do you want to be remembered forever or have to change your name? And it's kind of a whole life ending, life changing, life ruining situation.
Yeah.
But you just kind of sit with that. It's probably the right move for his own sanity, but it's a selfish move ultimately.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk. So how do you feel about the movie overall?
I enjoyed the hell out of it. I thought it was fucking creepy as shit. Like, you knew he was gonna be the guy.
Well,
like,
pretty
early on and stuff. But just it was very much like a slow burn cat and mouse kind of thing going on. And rewatching it the other day, I was like, oh shit, yeah, no, this is a little bit better than I remembered. Like, it's a really solid movie.
I think that it's fairly solid. Like, it was watchable. Like, I never, there weren't really any moments where I was like, I'm just going to turn this off. I'm so bored, you know?
Yes.
But I did feel like it had some, like, maybe slight pacing issues.
Yeah, probably. I mean, like, it was a smaller movie. So, I mean, I kind of assumed that it would have, like, some kind of, like, pacing issues or something like that. And I don't know, flashbacks are always to me.
Yeah, I don't love flashbacks.
So we could have just, like, gathered that he didn't go by just him walking in.
Yeah,
Just like a brief flash.
Or it could have been explained later on in, like, a passing comment or something.
Yeah.
But
overall.
Overall, I'd give it, like, a 7.5 out of 10.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, like, it's solid. Definitely worth a watch. Yeah. I don't know if I'd, like, watch it again, really.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. Like, I've watched it twice now for this. So, it's like, I think it's enough, but definitely worth one watch at least.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like, I mean, if you're into like stuff that's based on true crimes and shit.
Once you're listening to this podcast, you probably are. Let's be real.
It's solid.
You know what? I will say this. If you like Dylan McDermott, go watch this because it's really one of the best performances I've seen him do in a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. He's not like a guy that I think like, leading movie man.
No,
like,
he's
television. He's a television guy for the most part.
He's a leading television actor.
Yeah.
He exceeds in that, and he's more of like a character actor almost, like a background side character in films, I feel like.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like in Party Monster, he's just like the club promoter.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the best roles I've seen him in. Like, his acting is really solid, and it's such a departure from a lot of the other stuff that he's done.
Yeah.
So, it was nice seeing him like stretch his chops. And I would say this, like, he actually had to really fight for that role, this role
Really?
too. Yeah, so like the actor, the director in no way envisioned him for this role in any way, shape, or form. He had to like send him a video, essentially, like, hey man, I can do this. He put on like a costume to make himself up to look like, the character, and just floored the director. And the director's like, okay, I had no part had ever thought of you for this, but clearly you're begging me to play this role, and you've proved me wrong. I think you're the man for the job. And so, yeah, he had to win over the director and prove that he was good and could be creepy for this.
Who did the director have in mind for the role, is what I wondered.
I don't know. I don't th I thought that he said who he like had in mind, but he never does. So,
No,
I
it's
don't know. Oh well. Maybe he just like wanted to just do a cattle call.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, so we're gonna take a short break. And when we
Yeah.
return, Trent's gonna get into the nitty-gritty dirty that is the disgusting, terrible BTK.
It's gonna be fucking gross.
Yeah, he's gross. He's awful.
Wait,
Stay tuned.
me or him?
No, not you. You're fine.
Oh, thank you.
All right, we'll be back.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Hi, and welcome back.
Glad to be back.
Trent, well, just start spilling the deplorable actions of BTK.
All
Get it
right.
out.
I can do that. It's one of my favorite things to do. I think last time we recorded, I wasn't teaching in the start. Might have been teaching. But
You were like a month or two away from moving to Korea, I think.
yes, okay, so I was still teaching, but I was miserable, even more so then.
Fair enough.
Nowadays I have students of mine that are always asking me, like, especially with the advent of Dahmer, when that came out, they're always asking me, "Mr. Man, you saw that, you know it's a true story?" And it's like, yes, I can give you even more details and tell you what's right and what's not accurate about that show. And I was like, yeah, no, most of that happened, pretty much all that happened. So that's one of my favorite things to do now, is just to, like, freak kids out that way, like, no, and I'm like, no, I know more than you in general, so I'm smarter. But today we are not talking about Mr. Jeffrey Dahmer. Obviously, we are talking about Dennis Rader. Dennis Rader, this guy. So he was either born in Columbus, Kansas, or Pittsburgh, Kansas. Either way, it doesn't matter, because unfortunately, he was still born in fucking Kansas. You have to, like, it's really hard to get out of there. You got to get sucked up by a tornado to fucking leave that place.
Pretty
Just
much.
digs your fucking nails into you. But he basically grew up in Wichita, which is like saying like, yeah, I was either born in Walker or Denham Springs, but it doesn't matter because he still grew up in Baton Rouge. His parents, they're hardworking blue collar motherfuckers, apparently. They didn't really give a shit about the kids at home, which, you know, that's that, that I turned out fine with that. Just kidding. I had a very lovely relationship with my parents.
I was going to say the photos on Facebook seem happy.
Yes, exactly. Rita later described feeling ignored by his mother in particular and resenting her for it. So, you know, Freud would have a field day with this guy. I wish my mom ignored me a little more sometimes. so, like, he was... I'm reticent to use the word freak, because, like, we all like to get a little freaky. Am I right?
Right, was, right. No kink shaming.
Yeah, no, not at all. Except for some, but I'm not going to say it on here because I don't want to get emailed.
That's
close. I don't need to get in trouble this close to decadence and like just like close a bunch of doors, you know?
Okay.
But yeah, this is a fucked up little dude. All right. So like from a young age, he is like doing Zeusadom. He's like torturing animals into fetishes like voyeurism, autoerotic asphyxiation, cross dressing, which I mean like cross dressing, we don't have to put that as a kink. That one is just, yeah, no. Sometimes people dress up at a young age because that is who they feel on the inside. That's what makes them comfortable. So we're just gonna cross that one off the list there. But yeah, you shouldn't be getting into voyeurism or autoerotic asphyxiation by the time you're like 7 or 8. You know that you gotta build up to that.
Yeah, that's still the time of innocence, or it should be. You know.
Yeah.
You want it to still be.
It's like, I feel like 10 is when you should like see like the chick with 3 boobs in Total Recall. I think that should be the marker for every young dude. You know, that's the sweet spot, you know?
You know, I had already seen pictures from Playboy and Penthouse by the time I was 10, but that's another story for another day.
Yeah. This is why my parents didn't let me go play in the woods that much, because I knew that was out there.
I have an older brother.
yes, I was the older brother, and I never did that, because I don't know.
My brother, he's not with us anymore, bless him, but he was 15 years older than me, so.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah.
Fair enough.
He had his own house. I found them there.
Cool. No, I mean, like, when I was, like, 12 and 13, actually, like, getting into chicks and, like, didn't know how to clear my browser history, I would just, like, find my dad's, like, Playboys or Easy Riders. He liked Easy Rider.
Oh.
Yeah, this bike guy.
Nice.
So, you know, it's your sexual learning about yourself, about your own sexuality. It should be baby steps. You know, it shouldn't
totally.
Be like, I'm gonna fucking choke myself until I fucking bust a load. Like, yeah. right out the gates. That's not
that,
good.
That at like 7 or 8 or when you first discover your willy is really intense.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Very much so. So yeah, he would steal women's clothes, steal panties and commit the great and terrible sin of onanism with them while watching people through their windows, which you know what, if voyeurism is consensual, cool and dandy, that's totally fine. Not if it's like you're peeping Tom, you know, not great.
No, peeping Tom is that's an invasion of privacy.
Yeah, it's not very nice. When he would eventually start you know, blossoming into the gaping fucking piece of asshole that he really, really is. Between the murders, he would like end up taking pictures of himself. You've seen the photos. You know what I'm talking about. If you don't, you know, go have yourself some fun time. Look up Dennis Rader photos. You're in for a absolute delightful treat that won't, you know, look him up at the office. Look him up on the company computer and everything's gonna be fine. Do that. Cool. But yeah, he would do that to kind of satiate himself as part of the fantasy that he had with his victims. And he kept them really well hidden. Like, he did, like, I don't know how he got it up in the bedroom. Because, like, I know there was one serial killer. I want to say it was Joseph Callender who had to, like, clutch a knife to be able to finish.
There were several of them that had exactly. really weird things that were the only way that they could get off.
So it's like the Never Nudes in Arrested Development. There are dozens of us! Yeah. Dozens! That's not a dated reference, is it?
I still love Arrested Development. We make banana stand references around here all the time.
Is there money in your banana stand?
Always.
That's good to hear. That's good to hear. I'm going to set her on fire. so, yeah, I guess that is... I want to believe that his wife didn't know about any of the weirder stuff that he's into. Because, like, again, when it comes down to it, when it comes to any of these fetishes, as long as they're practiced in a healthy and safe, consensual environment, no problem.
Yeah.
Whatever. As long as you're not, like, hurting other people unconsensually or hurting animals like he did when he was a kid.
Because animals can't consent.
Exactly. What about a parrot? They talk.
No, they mimic.
No? Okay. Fair enough. You got me there. But yeah, he was like a pillar of the community. He was just like, oh yeah, no, he's a swell dude. He's a chill guy. Except when he wasn't, because apparently he was like a real fucking stickler for like the most petty shit at work.
Oh, of course he was. He's that guy.
Well, serial killers, of course, like they need control. So it's like, well, if I can't get my jollies right now, then I guess I'm going to just exert control over these, over people that he sees as peons, basically. Did shit like that. Like,
can you get these TPS reports in by the end of the day, please?
Yes. He's a less successful, what's his name, Bill from the Office?
No, I was thinking of the dude from Office Space.
Office Space, that's what I meant, not the Office. I'm dumb.
Yeah.
I'm on the roll today. When it comes to mixing up popular culture.
That's fair. They're both offices, right?
Yeah, exactly. So he worked as a security system installer, which that was like, you know, perfect for him because he could like figure shit out. Did you ever, you've seen Barbarian, right?
Yes, of course.
So that scene where he's going around as the meter guy and he unlocks the window in the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something Rader did? Or
I don't think he had to.
He like knew the systems and shit.
Yeah, he knew the systems. He set them up. He could just type in codes and stuff. And
that makes sense.
Yeah, but he might have left doors and, like, windows unlocked, maybe.
Yeah. So, installing security alarms, many cases for homeowners concerned were about the BTK killings. Because, like, he obviously got a boom in business.
Let us just imagine for a minute what a conversation might have been like between BTK and a woman who's lives alone and is installing a security system, having a security system installed.
Yeah.
Because she's terrified of the very man she's talking to.
Yeah.
Well, he's just got like a very wry, like, slip of a grin on the corner of his mouth. Like,
oh no, this man is rock hard the entire time that that's happening too. He is like boned up to the gills.
Oh yeah. Like, I mean, I don't know the size of it, but it was as hard as possible.
I don't know, probably about like the size and look of my thumb, I would wager, honestly.
I was gonna say like a roll of quarters, maybe.
You're being generous.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah.
And like, he was also a dog catcher, like in the early 90s and shit. And he would just be a dick again. Just apparently, like, killed a dog for no reason.
Well, I mean, he did that as a kid.
Yeah, he needed to get boned up again. Of course, member of, like, he was a board member of the Christ Lutheran Church, if I'm remembering that shit correctly.
I think he was also, like, a fucking deacon or something, too.
Deacon, that's what it was, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, that, obviously, that led to his capture because this dumb boomer fuck doesn't know how computers work.
If I send you a floppy disk, can you, like, figure out what happened exactly? Remind me.
Basically, sent a letter asking, like, hey, yeah, if I send you this floppy disk, you guys can't trace that, right? And they're like, nah, bro.
You can't figure out who it is if I send you this floppy disk, right? No.
You wouldn't do it anyway. You're good for ratings.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. I'm going to send it.
Yeah.
Clink, clink.
And according to like he got arrested I guess in 2005 after like years of being inactive.
Do we know exactly how many years it was?
I'm gonna get to it when I get to the murders themselves. I'm not gonna I'm not gonna get super duper graphic with the murders because I totally
feel you on that.
Mostly because it's just like the children deaths always bug me.
I get it. You're a school teacher. You teach little children.
Oh no, I teach 12-year-olds. Fuck those kids. I have a niece now though. So.
Well, I mean, 12-year-olds are still kids.
Yeah, right? They're fucking assholes too.
I know. That's why Mark will not teach middle schoolers. He only teaches high school.
He made the right choice. Mm-hmm. But yeah, emergency divorce because, yeah, makes sense. And apparently his daughter still writes to him. I'm just like,
what?
Yeah, as of a 2019 ABC News interview. So I'm
Did she write a book about it too?
Yes, I believe so. I haven't read that one. I can't remember.
I would be really interested to read what it was like to like grow up in the house with him.
Yeah. Okay. So let's get into the murders. First set that let's we have. It. Four members of the Otero family were murdered in Wichita, Kansas, January 15th, 1974. Four members, middle of the goddamn day.
That's bold.
Yeah, that's incredible fucking bolt for anybody. So he just annihilates this family, ties up the parents, ties up the kids, asphyxiates, hangs the daughter in the basement and watches her. That's honestly, that's the one that I'm gonna like really gloss over right there because
For a more in-depth view, listen to other podcasts about him. Somebody tells you the goodies.
Yeah, like if I had a drink in me, I might be able to like do it, but I haven't had a drink all day, so I'm just like,
I feel ya. I don't want to talk about it either. Like sometimes the more egregious crimes, we usually just kind of gloss over and like you have Wikipedia.
Yeah, exactly. But this guy thought he was so fucking smart, and he kind of was for like the 70s because he decided to leave a letter in a book in the Wichita Public Library, basically detailing everything. He's like, catch me if you can.
Yeah. He got off on the cat and mouse of it.
Yes. Yeah. And then between 74, 90, and 77, killed three more women, sent letters to, or sent a letter to KAKE in Wichita, which is a television station. Cake. Delicious. So just like really hammering home, like, yes, I did this. And he kept like trying to figure out nicknames for himself. He kept suggesting it. And if you got to pick out your own nickname, then you don't need a nickname.
You're lame if you give yourself a nickname.
Yeah. Like my nickname that I got in Korea at the pub that I was I would always go to was the Raging Cajun, because I'd fair. Be raging. And I'm also like from Louisiana. I'm not necessarily Cajun though. Think of a little bit.
That's fair.
Yeah,
people lump that in, you know.
Yeah, and now my nickname at the bar I go to all the time, it's Dirt Reynolds.
Nice.
I've earned that.
I suppose you have, yes.
Yeah. So he is just the silliest little guy, this stupid fucking piece of shit. He's a poet, which, like, reading that a couple of years ago, I was like, maybe I really should give up poetry and try this stand-up thing. That's fun. Wrote a poem. It's talking about, like, this quote-unquote factor X that drove him to kill him. It's like, oh, yeah, it's the same thing that made Jack the Ripper, Son of Sam, the Hillside Strangler fucking do that shit. It's like, No. That's not why you did it. You did it because you're a fucking shitheel.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he was going to kill some other people, but they like escaped. One woman just like got home like later than expected. He got really pissed off at that because he like waited and then just like got impatient like a little fucking kid who got stood up on a date and just like, I'm taking my leeches and I'm going home. Like a little shit.
How dare you break your routine?
Yeah.
I was going to kill you.
So then he murdered a woman in 1985, took her body to the church, Christ Lutheran Church, where he was the president of the church council, photographed her in various bondage positions, and had black plastic sheets and other materials at the church in preparation for the murder, and later dumped the body in a remote ditch. He had called his plan Project Cookie. Cute name, real cute name. Real sweet stuff.
Oh, God. I need a cookie.
Yeah, so I need a fucking beer. So he claimed the murders of this family in Wichita in 88. So apparently he's not considered the suspect for those that family murder. It was like three members of the family, the Fager family in Wichita. So then he also loved to stalk women. One actually put out a restraining order in the mid-90s, and another changed her address to avoid him. So he was slipping in his old age.
Sounds like.
You know, I mean, like...
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Once you get past your prime, you got to know when to just walk away, you know?
Yeah, you got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them.
Exactly. So, like, years later, it's like 2004, and he's like, I've gotten away with this for too long. I want to play around. And that's what he does. He's, like, sending these letters to the fucking television station. Always like, oh, yeah, can I send you a floppy disk? And, like, yeah, they caught him that way because... That's exactly what it is. So he would also try to leave like cereal boxes and shit with messages in the back of trucks because he's a serial killer.
He's so lame. He's so fucking lame.
He's like he's not even like the most interesting serial killer, I feel. He's just
he's just annoying.
Yeah, he's just a little bitch baby.
Yeah.
And so they identified him like not just through circumstantial evidence, but a warrant to test the pap smear taken from Raider's daughter at KSU. So there's that familiar match. Yeah. He got arrested when asked why he was stopped. Like, cause they like pulled him over like at his neighborhood. Mr. Raider, do you know why you're going downtown? He was like, oh, I have suspicions why. I'm like, trying to sound like a villain. I'm sure that he wanted to sound like very, very serious and deep and like cunning, but it's like, no, you sound like a fucking nerd.
Oh, could it be this murder that I did in 1983, or could it be this murder that I did in 1986?
And then the trial's going on, and there's like, you know, victim statements. Then he apologized in like a 30-minute speech, and he's like, bruh, just continuing to make it about himself. And did you ever watch that I Survived BTK documentary?
I did.
The weight that those poor people had to carry on them, and I imagine still do. It's just such a fucking bummer, and just
totally.
shows the aftermath of what these pieces of shit leave behind. So fuck them.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So he's in solitary confinement for like ever. So he has radio and television. And he can read magazines and other privileges for good behavior. So,
well, I hope he sits in that box forever, I guess.
Yeah.
I hope you're bored and you can never come again.
Oh, God, that's a fate worse than death. Jesus.
He deserves that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so BTK sucks.
Yeah. Francis Dolaride from Red Dragon was partially based on the then identified BTK killer.
Was he identified at that point?
No. The novel came out in 81.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
But it was before, that came out before Silence of the Lambs, right? Didn't it? Or is that the one after Silence of the Lambs?
No, Red Dragon was first. Silence of the Lambs, the sequel. Yeah.
Yeah. Red Dragon, Hannibal, Silence of the Lambs. I'm on top of this. I'm aware of those. Yes.
I had to like add one little nerdy tidbit left.
Okay, go for it.
No. That was it. That was the nerdy tidbit.
That was your nerdy tidbit. Oh, okay.
Yes.
That's fair.
I love when I'm able to do these and like go in depth about the killers, because like I feel like I can like show these to potential suitors and they'll like absolutely not be freaked out by it at all, by my extensive knowledge.
I would, you know, I would be like, oh my God, I finally found a dude that wants to talk about this with me. Because yes. I always date guys that are very, very turned off by this part of me.
Yes.
Like my partner's in there right now, like, I don't want to hear about it. He's like, humanity is already failing me enough. I don't need to hear about how much it sucks even more.
Oh, no, that's fair. Yeah, no,
Yeah, I'm like, I get it. I get it.
yeah,
It's not for everyone.
no, for sure. I've just accepted that it's failed.
Yeah, right. I'm just digging deep into the sludge at this point. All right, so Trent, would you like to plug some stuff that you're up to? It can be local or abroad, doesn't matter, whatever.
Yeah, sure. I am I've got to take a step back from producing shows right now, just for the next couple of months to focus on writing. But Justin Baker is still doing raw comedy at Yes We Cannibal every third Monday of the month, here in
Nice,
Baton
nice,
Rouge, Louisiana.
nice.
I will be performing with Dan Alton in June, the 26th over at Yes We Cannibal. Very excited for that. That dude's been all over the place. He's funny as fuck. Done shit with Kyle Kinane and Rory Scovel.
Nice.
And he's just fucking stellar on his own. Bloody Buddies, we're coming back from a hiatus relatively soon. We got some stuff planned up. Really excited for that. You can probably catch me in doing Lunchbox Comedy Festival in late May, I believe the
Whoop whoop.
28th.
Nice.
So that's exciting. That's very exciting. We need to hear back from some other stuff. So yeah, big things coming in 2023, big dogs.
Dope, dope. Well, as always, if you guys want to, you can follow him at those places that he just mentioned.
Yes,
You can
Steve Albino on Instagram, and yeah, that's the best way to get in touch with me.
Yeah, and we are Horror versus Reality at Instagram and on Twitter and Facebook. Just do the Googling and you'll find us.
Figure it out on your own.
Yeah, and my other podcast, Attack of the Killer Objects, is also available anywhere you listen. And our newest episode, Killer Condom, will be coming out next week.
Hell yeah.
Have you ever seen that, Trent?
I think I watched it once at a friend's house, and we were just like very, very intoxicated.
It's like weirdly good.
Back to the killer condom. Okay, I have to remember this.
Because, like, for one, the condom was the killer condom itself. The creature design was done by H.R. Giger,
I love that. Okay, yes,
right?
I'm sold.
And it was produced by Troma.
Hell yes.
And it's German.
Well, two out of three ain't bad.
It's fucking hysterical. Just trust me.
Hell yes. Okay,
There
fair enough.
were some moments where I was like, I don't know, it's kind of losing me, but then there's like a little bit of heart to it. I
Okay.
don't know. Just, like give it a go. It is camptastic.
Okay, hell yeah, I would check that out.
Okay. And then the episode will be out next week.
Hell yeah.
Which you Trent, you should come on that show on my other show sometime.
I am down for it. Yes, we'll book something down.
Yeah, just think of a killer object movie. Come send me a DM and let me know what you want to do. Go to our Spotify feed and you can see all the films that we've already done.
Hell yeah.
All right, guys. Well, we will see you for our next Horror versus Reality, which will be, I'm not sure exactly when I'm going to release it, but it will be on Jack Ketchum's The Lost.
Oh.
Yeah, so check that out. All right, guys, and we'll see you then.
All right, take care,
Bye.
yeah. Bye.